So a couple of the things that Sagan said there, after showing that picture of the Earth, just this teeny little speck of light, teeny little dot in the cosmos, he says, consider that dot, that's here, that's home, that's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. Every hunter and forager, hero and coward, creator and destroyer of civilizations, king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. He says, the Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena, and yet think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. He says, in our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves, like it or not, for now the earth is where we make our stand. Well, I like most of that clip, but I disagree with that last part right there. That there's no hint that any help is coming from beyond to save us from ourselves. Actually, I don't think that's the question. I think that help has already come to save us from ourselves. The more operative question, the more important question is, were we listening? Have we listened? Have we accepted the help and the teaching that has been offered to us? Someone has told us how to reverence God and how to take care of and reverence God's creation. Someone has told us how to live with one another without spilling blood from one corner of our little pixel to another. Someone has told us how to hallow and reverence the brief and finite and fragile spans of our own lives that are nonetheless precious. But did we listen? By and large, have we ignored it? I believe humanity has been given an incredible gift, several incredible gifts, in fact, the gift of life, which Genesis describes as God breathing God's own breath into humanity, that it is God's own self that brings us to life, and that is the gift that we've been given. The gift of one another. We didn't read that particular part of Genesis, but there's the part of the story where God creates humanity, male and female. The point, I don't think, is about, you know, survival of the species or anything like that, but about the fact that we're created in connection to each other, in relationship to each other. We are given the gift of one another to cherish and to enjoy. And then we are given a gift and a responsibility to tend and to keep the garden in which we are placed. Before there were any commandments to obey, before any disciples responded to any callings by any lake shores, to the spiritual journey or to the path of discipleship, there was this one simple injunction, this one calling. Live here. Honor me. Tend and keep this garden. To tend and to keep. It almost kind of sounds like a wedding vow, you know, like to have and to hold. To tend and to keep. And as any person who's married can tell you, wedding vows are not easy just because we say them. I mean, having and holding is not easy. And neither is tending and keeping. Neither is following the call of God, following Christ. But it's what we're called to do. It's what we've been given as a gift and as a responsibility to tend and to keep. We're gardeners, we're caretakers, we're stewards of this earth. Now, gardening is hard. I started kale seeds like 6 weeks ago, and it's a good thing because, you know, they sprout up real well. And then on a really nice sunny day when there wasn't too much wind, I put them out on the porch to harden a little bit. And every last one of them died. So I got another package of kale seeds and I started again. But gardening isn't easy. Tending and keeping isn't easy. We don't just sort of throw things out in the ground and expect them to grow and to flourish the way that we want them to. And neither is that the case with the gifts we've been given by God, whether it's the gift of our lifespan, the gift of our relationship with one another, the gift of the earth and its life, teeming life that we are charged to care for and to keep. It always reminds me, although there's no explicit tie in, it always reminds me of that story from the Gospel of Matthew. You know, it's as if there is this master, this person who charges the servants with caring for, watching over treasure during the master's absence. Says, here, I'm going to go away, or maybe appear to have gone away for a time, and I'm going to entrust this to your care. And then when I come back, I'm going to ask you, what did you do with the treasure I gave you? Now, it's a metaphor that it's about money. Money is almost always a metaphor in the New Testament. It's a metaphor that it's about money. It's really about our lives, our gifts, our strengths, our talents, right? What have you done with the brief, fragile, no less precious span of your life with which I entrusted you? What have you done with the care of one another, these other precious gifts from God with whom I've entrusted you? What have you done with this blue-green jewel, this tiny pale blue dot, unlike any other treasure in all of the universe? What have you done with the gifts I've given you? Now, for the servant who has squandered or squelched or stomped upon that gift, it's not a very good end to the story. For the servants who have flourished and nurtured and cared for that gift, helped it to grow, helped it to expand, to be more fruitful, to be greater than it was before, God says, well done, my faithful servant. You have been entrusted with something small, and you were trustworthy in small things, and so I will entrust you with something more. I'm not suggesting that the care for one another or the care for the earth or even the care of our own lives is small by any means. But we imagine that there's something so much more beyond, that there's some presence of God which is greater than we live in perhaps now, or nearer or truer or closer, into which we will be ushered, into which we will be invited. We imagine that there is some sort of glory, some sort of joy into which God says, come and share. But I believe we must first be faithful with the things with which we've been entrusted. They are no small tasks, although when compared to the cosmos, it's all small. How tiny and insignificant our little petty differences seem, how tiny and foolish our chasing after wealth or security or money seem when we take a step back and try to imagine from God's eyes or from the eyes of a satellite passing Saturn, how small and closely woven together we are. It does remind me of the children's story, Horton Hears a Who, because it reminds me that from the perspective of an outsider, we are so tiny. And yet, just because we are tiny does not make us any less precious. Any less precious to God, any less precious to one another. As Sagan says at the end of that brief clip there, he says that there's perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. It underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the only home we've ever known. Precisely because we are so small, precisely because we are so fragile, precisely because our lives seem so fleeting and so short, we are infinitely precious to God. We are infinitely precious, or we must be infinitely precious to one another. And I believe we will be asked, what have you done? What have you done with the gifts I've given you? The gift of this earth, the gift of one another, the gift of your own lifespan. Perhaps as individuals, I feel like we answer that question pretty well. Even as communities, we do a really good job of honoring the earth, of taking care of it, of caring for one another, of making the most of our lives. But when we step back and we consider perhaps all of humanity answering that question, it makes me a little uneasy, because it seems that we have failed on the whole. We failed as a human race. We have failed to embrace one another. We have failed to care for God's creation as if it were precious to God and to us. We have failed to make of our lives something of peace and goodness and beauty and joy and love for God and for one another, instead of violence and destruction of each other and of the world around us. Consider that little tiny dot. Everyone you've ever known or heard of, every parent and child, every saint and sinner, every person who's ever lived has lived on that dot. Every moment of our lives, no matter how brief, no matter how exciting or boring or terrifying or delightful, every person we encounter, the gift of one another, no matter how deeply we may have to look to find God's Spirit and God's blessing in another person's eyes. Everything we've ever known in a tiny, tiny speck of dust. And yet, a person is a person no matter how small. A gift of God is a gift of God no matter how small. Each moment, each person, each blade of grass to be cherished. Everyone and everything we've ever known. Precious to God, precious to us, we've been given a gift, a pale blue dot, a blue-green jewel to tend and to keep, the gift of one another to live in relationship and joy and blessing, the gift of life, to make of it something that glorifies God, that nourishes us, that reaches out to others. What have we done with the gifts God has given us? May we honor and reverence each one. Amen.